Oh, hello. I was just cleaning myself up a bit because apparently I overdosed a bit on the cherries for my cheesecake, man. Cheesecake. Screw that fruitcake. This is it. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Todd Sampler. I am Santa Cool, a.k.a. Todd Quality Yeager, a.k.a. Santa Bear. Oh, and excuse my voice if it's a little off, because yesterday I was on set for my second role in a feature film called Astral Plane Drifter. I had to scream a lot. And so I'm still recuperating from that. Why? Here's the poster for the film. And that was me with main star and creator Mike Caravella. It's gonna be a classic. And yeah, okay. I really am in quite the festive holiday mood. Some of you demanded a tree? Well, here you go. That's right! Today is a double feature review. Exciting! Of Santa Isn't Real. And Nightmare on 34th Street. As if my beard is enough to make your holidays complete. Well, I guess we gotta do the reviews. First off, Santa Isn't Real, directed by Zach Locke. It basically stars Kaya Coleman as Nikki, Scarlett Spurdito as Jess, and Sissy Lee as MJ, and Trey Anderson as Nathan. After suffering a brutal attack on Christmas Eve, a young woman, Nikki, struggles to convince her friends that the assailant was old Kris Kringle. When Santa returns to terrorize the group, Nikki and her friends must fight to stay alive. Oh my God. Fuck Die Hard. That's not, honestly, come on. It takes place during Christmas. You're going to try to convince me it's an actual Christmas movie. I don't care. You can think that. Pfft, whatever. Oh my God. I need some of this. So, here's the thing about this movie. My brain's already numbed on it. You see, it's headache-inducing. So much dumb behavior and decisions. I'm not saying don't watch it, because I actually looked up a few reviews, and a few said, oh, it's suspenseful. Okay, yeah, give it a look. I'm not trying to tell you not to. I'm just saying, okay, in the beginning, you can hear the wind whooshing outside. It's cold. It's snowy. So why doesn't Nikki have a fire in her fireplace? And she's, you know, it's okay. So when the assault happens, now Santa magically appears down the chimney. Maybe that's why there was no fire in the fireplace. But why was he wearing a mask? Masks. All these horror movies, masks, masks, masks. Oh my God, stop it already. But anyway, the cabin in this movie, they keep referring to it as a cabin. It's a massive, beautiful, luxury home. Just like in the movie, there's nothing out there, which I'm not a fan of. That's another story altogether. But that was like a massive, beautiful, multi-story house. Don't fucking call it a cabin. Oh, see, I'm losing my voice again already. No, it's, I was glad to, you know, damage my vocal cords for my art. Because Astroplane Drifter is going to be a kick-ass film. Back to this. Santa isn't real. So, also, when she's recovering, she comes out of her year-long coma. Why doesn't she tell the nurse, I was attacked by an intruder? She was too afraid to say I was attacked by Santa, so she didn't goddamn say anything at all. Just, you know, so there's an investigation or something so people don't think you're crazy and tried to commit suicide because her wrist was slashed. Okay, I guess then, you know, the movie would have to take another direction, but still, right off the bat, I'm, like, frustrated over this. So she later admits to her friends that something happened, but she tells them it was Santa. And they're like, yeah, you're crazy. You know, you did try to kill yourself. I'm just tell them it was an intruder. They'll kind of believe that and not look at you like this. Ooh. So, a positive. It's interesting that they talked about Krampus and that mythology. That was very interesting. And sometimes these teens, are they college age? I don't know. They seem smart. They were mentioning things like Occam's razor, but then they can't use, well, what's his name? Nathan. Couldn't figure out how to use a landline phone that was actually push button. That's a no-brainer. Now, if it was a rotary phone like I grew up on, I could see how they're like, oh, what do I do with this? But a push button phone is kind of the same as when you use your cell phone. Oh my God, stupidity. So anyway, let me take a breath. So, just when I thought the film was getting back on track, they do something or say something dumb again. And I just kick back and so, for instance, they're opening presents. Secret Santa thing, I think. So, I'm going to spoil this. It's not really much of a spoiler. But, so Nikki opens a present and there's the same knife, basically, that was used to attack her with. And she's like, and the friends are like, I didn't do that. Who could have done that? That's not cool. Then it's, hey, let's open another present. And it's all forgotten about. I'd be like, what the fuck? Who did this? This isn't cool. I'm leaving right now. Get in the van. No, they just move on and get some hot chocolate or booze or whatever. And it's all forgotten about. I'm sorry that. That really like bugged the shit out of me. And I'm just sitting there. Okay. The power goes out. Make a fire in the fireplace. And stuff. No, they don't do that. Let's just say through a lot of the film, this was my expression. Yeah? Okay. So this is a big moment. So the guy and the girl are in front of the garage. And from the right side of the screen, the guy suddenly gets hit by the killer. Now, the girl's right there. How come she didn't see the guy approach, right? And then what does she do? Now, if the guy gets hit, like over here, right? Instead of going this way, she goes that way. Runs towards the ship. Okay, I'm going to do it again. So, anyway. And if the one girl basically lives at the cabin, why didn't she prepare the tires for snow? Instead of sitting in there going, oh, come on, come on. And the tires are spinning. Snow tires. I mean, that area, they, okay. It's weird, too, how there's a sizable church in the middle of nowhere. The girl mentioned something about, well, it's just me and this pastor, priest, whatever he is. I'm like, why? And yet the pastor, priest, whatever he is, I can't remember. He's still going to do a sermon to an empty church. Okay, whatever. Now, some positive talk. They do mention about the myths of how Santa should look. I would get this when I would dress as Santa Cool at work. Customers like, you're not fat. Your beard's not white when it was darker. I'm like, that is the Coca-Cola Santa. And they mention that in this film. That is the image Coca-Cola put forth with Santa. If you look up the whole Kris Kringle Santa thing, you're going to see it was a bit different. So, and whenever someone's talking on the phone with another person, they don't really cut to the other person. You hear a voice, but the audio is so freaking low, you have to turn the volume up to hear what the person was saying on the phone. I had to like backtrack a little and then turn up the volume and hear what was going on. So that was a thing. And to sort of end it all up on this, when the gal sees a person through the garage, like door, window, something, again, it's becoming, my mind is wanting to block stuff. Why does she then approach and say what she did to endanger herself? You'll have to see that. I'm saying, watch the film. I'm not upset that I did. I'm just saying so much about it, you know? It's just, Oh, and if the reveal is what it is at the end of the film, then does that mean the beginning was not exactly what happened, but if it really was, there was a Santa, then why was Santa wearing a mask? Okay, so, oh, fuck. I need a break. Let's have some Santa dance. Taste of my eggnob. A little bit more of this, too. Hey! So, as you can see, there's some similar ones from when I did my Triple Xmas review, but I want to focus on some titles that, yes, these are delightful. A lot more delightful than that one I just talked about. So, yes, up here, the classic Black Christmas, 1974 one. Not the remake. Christmas Evil, a.k.a. Better Watch Out. You Better Watch Out. It's, yeah, wow. Anna and the Apocalypse, the festival cut is the way to go. Rare Exports, goddamn delight, probably the best holiday film ever. Don't try to change my mind. All the Creatures Were Stirring. Are Stirring or Were Stirring? Were Stirring, yes. An anthology, that's tons of fun. Pee-wee's Playhouse Christmas Special. You can't live without that. Silent Night from 2011. Fun surprise. Kick-ass violence. Saint. As I said, watch it in its original language with English subtitles. Don't get the dub. Don't. What else we got going on here? Oh, holidays. Fun anthology of all kinds of holidays throughout the year. And, you know, when I want to cheer myself up during the holidays, heat stroke from the wonderful Joe Gage, a.k.a. Tim Kincaid, with my idol, Richard Locke. Okay. Banana Splits, man. 1968 Banana Splits TV show. The Buttons. Yes. And, well, hey, yeah. The Banana Splits movie. They, instead of like trying to bring the Banana Splits back as what it was, that wouldn't have worked. So let's make it a gory horror film. And what a delight. And within the same realm, the Bug Loos. They're in the air and everywhere. And hey, stick around after the review. We'll play the board game of the Bug Loos. Neil and Annabelle of Without Your Head. Let's play some Snoopy and the Red Baron, too. Oh, hey there. I shot this part after the review, thus this insert. You know, insert. Some of you might say, Todd, there are some other holiday films you should have mentioned. Well, I didn't because I really don't care for them. Silent Night, Deadly Night, some of you love it. Fuck it. It's, you know, Linnea's tits again. That's basically why you watch it. It's not scary. I wanted to like this. I was hoping I would like it. Christmas, Bloody Christmas. The first part of it is just a bunch of talk, and some really graphic talk about sex. I mean, even I was kind of like, ugh. By the time the carnage hit, whatever. Better watch out. A lot of you cream your jeans over this one, too. A bunch of obnoxious, hateful teens again. I'm tired of that. Nope. This is not a holiday film, but it reminded me of the stupidity and bad decisions in Santa Isn't Real. All fun and games. I checked it out because it was a vertical release. I usually find those interesting. This one, nope. Now back to me being clothed. Eggnob. Nightmare on 34th Street. Directed by James Crowe, who did House of Salem, which I did enjoy a bit. It's from Wild Eye Releasing. So again, I thought, 50-50 chance. But overall, I did enjoy this one. It does run 2 hours and 10 minutes. So for some of you, I know that's like no freaking way. But there you have it. It has a good opening. The score, theme music grabbed my attention. It got a little disjointed there, though, because you seem to have a wraparound story going on. It's an anthology, but you don't know this until about 14 minutes in, because one of the segments starts, and then you get the wraparound, and then the movie ends for the wraparound, but then the one segment finishes after that. You're kind of like, what the fuck? Okay, so now you know about that. But I went in cold knowing nothing about this. That's the way I like to do things. But realizing it was an anthology when I didn't know that at first. Oh, it's kind of like, hey, that one's not jingling. You want to see something that jingles?
Happy holidays from Santa Cool. Jingle bells. Jingle bells. Jingle all the way. Yeah.
since there's really no gratuitous stuff in this movie except a woman in lingerie, well, there you go. All right, so one cold Christmas, a strange Santa arrives to visit Peter and tell him four Christmas horror stories. There you have it. Again, if you didn't know it was an anthology, you'd be like, I need a drink. So, excuse me. That was the eggnog. Oh, there seems to be some on my jacket, too. Oh, I just get it all over me, don't I? So, it starts off to masks. Oh, no, not masks again. I wish horror movies could find something other than masks. But there is an interesting one in this one, I will say, with the boys wearing it. Okay, here's a shot. Pretty interesting, pretty creepy. The first segment is Toby and Chloe's Christmas nightmare. My favorite line, yes, Santa. Oh, no, it's yes, please, Santa. I can't get that little girl's British voice exact, but it's, I want that as my ringtone. It made me giggle. There is immediate carnage. So this one, bam, bam, bam. It cuts to 5 years later. But there's a scene in that I don't get it. They're upstairs. There's an attack. But then someone downstairs looking up. Santa appears behind. How did Santa get from up, down, by? Continuity or something. I don't know. That was another little minus for me. But now, Santa's story, the wraparound, follows that one. And that's when you go, oh, and it takes you a moment to realize it's an anthology. And that can be good or bad. As I said, it's a little disjointed going in. They could have worked on that a bit better. But the next one is The Ventriloquist Who Stole Christmas. This one features Marc Beauchamp. He's so cuddly. I don't care if he's if his character's crazy. I'm won over. Now, this one is kind of like the 1978 film Magic with Anthony Hopkins set at Christmas time. Now, I'm not a big fan of that movie, Magic. I actually went and saw it twice in the theaters to see if there was some reason I didn't like it at first much, and I'm still kind of about it. But so the cuddly Marc Beauchamp, he plays a ventriloquist that has a possible crazy side. I won't reveal too much of that story, but let's just say it's the longest one. One review said this segment went about 50 minutes. So after a time, you're like, wait, is this an anthology or somehow was the other stuff connected? So I think there was a possibility, I'm thinking, that this ventriloquist one was going to be its own feature and then they just didn't have enough. So it was put into this film. Either way, some people said that this one could have been omitted, that it's one of the weaker stories, but I enjoyed it. Like I said, Marc Beauchamp, I'll watch him in anything. He reminds me a bit of a British actor that I know, Martin W. Payne.
100%. Todd. Quality.
Why, thank you, Martin. Martin also stars in a short film that I did called This Is How, which appears on a Dark Side release called Tortured Parts 2 and 3. There's the proof. And on the back side, it says, short film by Todd Yeager featuring the cast of Visions of Filth. I'm so proud. That deserves some cheesecake, man. Cheesecake. So, hey, the ventriloquist segment, it was fine. I enjoyed it despite some people saying it's not enough horror. It's more of a psychological thriller than a horror. There are two segments in Nightmare on 34th Street that are more based in reality. After the ventriloquist segment and a wraparound, we get Mary Krampus. This one is a mother dealing with depression, drinking, and her kids from two marriages, or were they marriages or just boyfriends, whatever. And it deals with, is Krampus something real? Or is it that people are evil? So it's more psychological. And it was interesting. Followed by the wraparound. Again, you get 12 Kills of Christmas. This one is kind of a mean bit. And it also is basically sort of reality-based. So it's not as out there. It's like something that could happen. It also has a few things to say on religion and hypocrisy. So it's very interesting. There's, since it is more on realism, there's real no direct visual violence nor gore. I mean, that's not necessary. There's, throughout this whole anthology, there's a lot of after the fact stuff. After somebody is attacked or something, then you see the aftermath. It's compelling and more dramatic on a psychological level. The ending of it is good or not, depending on your mood, actually. This ends the film, let's see, after the wraparound's own story, which comes up called Santa's Revenge. So you get the backstory as to how this Santa telling the story, how he became what he is, because he's telling some pretty nasty stories to this little child. And this Santa is effectively played by Pierce Stevens, who is also in House of Salem, and he's very effective as a bad Santa, also quite cuddly. Peter's Christmas Present, which was part of the 12 Kills of Christmas, and a slice of that in the opening is what finishes it all off. And I will say, though, the ending, you were expecting something else, but then, boom, credits. So I was like, oh, after 2 hours and 10 minutes, just like, yoink. But, you know, what can you do? And I have to say, in neither Santa Isn't Real nor Nightmare on 34th Street, you're going to get any actual gratuitous sex nor nudity and stuff like that. Now, I know some of you can't live without that, so let's throw in one more bit here for you. A little bit of Santa Bear. Well, guys, gals, everything else. You have been watching the Todd Sampler for Without Your Head, Santa Cool, Todd Quality Jaeger, Santa Bear, Beard. Say it. Come on. Yeah, Cheesecake Man. Cheesecake. I'm going to finish off with a little bit of eggnog.
Mm. 100% Todd quality.
Hey, stick around after the review. We could play some of the Boogaloo. Okay, wait. Let's try that again. Shoot. Okay, here we go. Oh, hey there. I shot this part after the review. Okay, let's start this over. All right. Okay.